Welcome to today's podcast. Our guest is Gary Kupo. Gary is the chairman of the Tri-County Chambers of Commerce. He is also the past president of the New Jersey Association of Health Underwriters, and he sits on a couple of committees related to the National Association of Health Underwriters on health insurance. So, Gary, welcome to today's call.
Yeah, Shelley, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people here. Thank you.
Now, I understand that the Tri-County Chamber of Commerce recently hosted a seminar, and that seminar was talking about medical emergencies and about the differences in going to an urgent care facility versus the emergency room. So can you tell me a little bit about the seminar that you hosted?
Yeah, it was great. Great turnout. Valley Hospital happens to be one of our members, and their urgent care center, Valley Medical Group, is where we had the meeting. And someone there had a great PowerPoint presentation discussing the differences. The main difference, obviously, people are concerned about cost today, so there's a big cost differential between going to an emergency room. On a national level, the average emergency room visit ranges between $1,233 to $2,168. That's out-of-pocket costs. This does not take in consideration surprise balance billing, where you go to an in-network hospital thinking your copay or deductible is, let's say, $100, and then all of a sudden you receive an out-of-network bill from an anesthesiologist, radiologist, or lab for thousands of dollars. The average urgent care visit is between $50 and $150, varying on the patient's copay or level of treatment. We broke down a whole bunch of conditions, cost differential as well. For today, I chose three that I thought were interesting. Strep throat, it was $531 versus $111. Acute bronchitis, $595 versus $127. Urinary tract infection, $665 versus $112. And this was done by a study a few years ago, so these numbers are probably even more today. As far as convenience, going to an emergency care center, the average wait time is less than 30 minutes. And everybody knows going to an emergency room, it's going to be a lot longer than that, and they found that the average wait time is around 2 hours and 15 minutes. Type of conditions, when you go to an urgent care center, for certain conditions, they're just going to turn you away. If you have severe chest pain, abdominal pain, if you have a high fever, especially a child with 104 fever, they're just going to point you to the emergency room. But typical conditions, urinary tract infection, bronchitis, flu, ear infection, strep throat, colds, things like that, it's perfect to go to the emergency room.
Well, thank you for all that good information, and it gives us a really good outline of some of the reasons why when that emergency happens, you fall off a ladder, child gets stung by a bee. It's good to know that there are differences in going to the urgent care facility versus the emergency room facility. And like you said, if you really have a life-threatening illness, you want to be at that hospital, at that emergency room, where you have access to all the different machines and the breathing apparatus and the diagnostic tools. And I understand that urgent care facilities, a part of why they're so inexpensive or less expensive than the emergency room, is they don't have all of those same things at their facility. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, as far as the emergency room, they're required to do certain testing by law, whereas the urgent care center may not, have the same type of requirements. What's also interesting at the end of their talk is they came out with a new service, a dispatch service, which I happen to use for my own uncle. He's 87 years old, confined to home, and can barely get up and walk around, and he was having a problem for a number of weeks, and he just can't get out. This dispatch service on a weekend came over to the house, charge the same cost as actually going to the urgent care center, and he had a wonderful experience. So, you know, what's nice about this is not only that convenience, but, you know, people putting off a visit where, you know, they could have a serious problem, and that would, you know, cost additional dollars if you don't catch certain things early enough. So
in your uncle's case, it was like a doctor that got a house call from back in the days of old when that
used to happen. Yeah, back in the old days. Yeah.
That's a tremendous service that they're offering. And like you said, for those people that are housebound or find it hard to get to the doctor or the facility, it's great that Valley is now allowing their professionals to go to the person's home in order to treat them as they need to be treated there. That's fantastic. So can you tell me about any other services that you're aware of that would help someone to pick places to go when they need to, or help define services like this dispatch service? Are there any things that you're aware of that the typical consumer could use?
Yeah, actually, when the Affordable Care Act came out, I was asked to do a talk at William Patterson University, and one of the panelists with me was a lawyer from St. Joe's Hospital. He left St. Joe's and went to work for this company called Vitals. SmartShopper.com is their website. And what they do is they help consumers save money and possibly earn cash back when they shop for many common medical services such as MRI, CAT scans, lab work. They should check with their insurance carrier to see what cost savings and or incentive programs are available. You know, with this whole discussion about transparency, you could see why this company is evolving.
Well, it's good to know that there's companies like that out there, and I'm sure that there's others that are springing up as this becomes more and more something that's in the news every day. One other thought came to mind, and that's related to prescription drugs. So if I go to an urgent care facility or I go to an emergency room, would I have a greater chance of walking out with a prescription at an emergency room, or could an urgent care facility do that for me? And certainly talk a little bit about the costs of prescription drugs too.
Yeah, I'm not sure of every urgent care center. I know there are differences, which they pointed out. One in particular is when you go to this particular urgent care, they have doctors that will do sutures. But they did express that not all urgent care centers, you know, do sutures. So if you need stitching, you know, and they don't do it there, they'll send you to the emergency room. So there are some differences. As far as prescriptions, I'm not sure if one particular urgent care center or all urgent care centers have prescription services versus the emergency room.
But the cost of prescription drugs is certainly important.
Well, the cost, there'll be a significant difference in cost between one and the other.
Right. And you had mentioned a little bit about surprise billing. Can you tell us, does New Jersey have a surprise billing law? And you mentioned a little bit about the Trump administration that was working on having one nationally. So could you just elaborate a little bit more about surprise billing?
Yeah, in New Jersey, Governor Murphy passed a law August 30th, 2018, regarding surprise balance billing, and he basically set up an arbitration process mandatory for fully insured plans, whereas on a self-funded plan, that's strictly on a voluntary basis. The national committee that I'm on a subcommittee for surprise balance billing, and President Trump had, I don't know if it was an executive order, but requested a solution to this national problem. And the Senate, the committee, came out with a number of options. One of them was pretty much what was passed by Governor Murphy last year. So it is a national problem. It is a concern. You know, it's not fair going to a hospital thinking you're in network and this is all you're going to pay and getting these outlandish bills. So hopefully we'll see some resolve over the next few months, or certainly by next year.
Well, kudos to New Jersey for passing their own, and obviously it's a national issue, and that's why we're seeing so much about it. And I don't think that a week goes by in our professions where we don't hear about somebody who received a completely outrageous bill, maybe as much as a year after they had a service done. So it's something that we definitely need to address as we have ongoing conversations about healthcare. Are there other publications or websites or places that you could suggest where someone could learn more about these issues if they wanted to?
Well, I actually was asked to do a podcast through the National Association of Health Underwriters. It was published in February, and because of the topic being so timely, they released it again in April. So if you go to NAHU, that's National Association of Health Underwriters, .org, and then publications slash podcast, you'll be able to hear the whole podcast. And we go into great detail. We discuss the Cassidy bill. Senator Cassidy put out a recommendation on surprise balance billing. So it was a pretty thorough explanation of what's going on with surprise balance billing.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for all your insights and information. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or a tax professional. Thank you, Gary. We hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, please contact your account manager or salesperson. Thank you very much.